Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to episode number 3 of the Road to Divi 1, Road to Gold Coast Marathon podcast series. Thanks for joining us for another week. It's been a big week of training for Andy Buchanan, which we're about to hear all about, and a big week for the Bendigo Bats. We're fresh off round 2 on the Athletics Victoria season down at Lardner Park yesterday, recording this on a Sunday. Just about to crack a beer on a Sunday afternoon, and looking forward to talking running with Andy for the next... maybe half an hour, we'll see how we go tonight. Thanks, people, for tuning in. And Andy, a big welcome to this week's episode.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. I'm actually just about to drink a tea, so there's a bit of difference between you and I.
So you're training for a marathon. That's the difference here.
It's going to be good. We've been talking a bit of shit on this podcast without too many results. We've got some good results to chat about, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, good fun.
It was a bit weird, the preview episode, wasn't it? Like, when we did that last one, it was like, we don't have, like, an AV race to talk about here, whereas I think I'll like the chats after races better than the chats before races. I think that's the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah, definitely, especially after an individual race. Just super good to, it's been a while since we've had an individual race, and it's just quite different to realise, so it's... Bloody it's going to be good fun. Yeah,
we'll get into that. And with a bit more success from the podcast front, we went number one on the Australian running charts during the week, topped old Inside Running podcast for about 24 hours there until they released their show on a Wednesday. We kind of had them on the ropes a bit, which was good fun, Andy.
Yeah, we'll claim that win. We'll claim it. We won't worry about when Inside Running comes out and the dates around that, but we'll claim that day.
Got to be strategic the day you upload. Got to be strategic. Exactly. But thank you to all the listeners who are on this journey with us. It's quite funny, and we really appreciate you giving us some of your attention. Big news before we start, Andy, we've got a sponsor for the Bendigo Bats.
Yeah, we do. We've got our first corporate partner, which is pretty exciting. So, we've got Features. So Features Australia, the socks, they've come on board. So it was a pretty easy negotiations there. We didn't really have to bring in the big lawyers or anything. So yeah, Chris Adams, I know him quite well, and he's all about supporting kind of grassroots running, and he jumped at the idea because he wants to be involved. And I suppose the good thing about the Bendigo Bats at the moment is we have kids, we have guys, girls, everyone, and the people that run 190k a week to people that kind of run 2 or 3 times a week. So they've jumped on board, and we've managed to deck out a lot of the bats in some new socks. So you wore the socks on Saturday. How'd you find them, Brady?
Yeah, it was cool. Everyone got given everyone in the kind of the top six, I know, at least, and then a few other guys as well, got given a pair. They're all the same colour. I like us kind of having the same similar uniform, which is good, and I enjoyed it. I've got a bit of a smaller foot, Andy. I think you probably know that. I'm a US 8. So when you chucked me a pair of socks that said large US 9.5 to 12 or something like that, I thought I could be in a bit of trouble. But then I kind of like the swag of having the socks, you know, fair way up the shin. So I put it on. I did have some footwear issues. Well, not issues, just some undecided kind of decision making before the race if I was going to wear spikes or flats. But I put the spikes on and put the new socks on, and it kind of worked. I liked it. They're a bit thicker than some of the socks I've raced in the past. But yeah, I had a good result, so I'm definitely not blaming the socks at all.
Yeah, must be the socks. So we've got the mini crew, so that's what they're called.
Okay.
And I used to be the same as you. I used to be just anklets. That was like my go-to. And then when Features kind of first started sending me socks, I was a bit like, whoa. Yeah, like I'm not too sure about the mini crew, but I don't know. That's my normal running sock now, and I love it. I love a bit of extra color, and we've got these. It's a wave. I think that's the actual sock name, and it's a nice blue that goes well with the singlet. So it's pretty cool actually. And they're, I don't know, I love them. They're such a nice sock. They're thin but not too thin, and yeah, I like the extra swag that you have while wearing them. So. Yeah, it's great that Features have come on board and are supporting the Bats.
Big thanks to Chris as well, who's also the distributor for Coros Australia as well. So obviously an inside runner. We've talked about Coros before, and yeah, you can kind of see with all the people repping some of the brands he represents that he really wants to support people at all different levels. So we appreciate that support of the Bendigo Bats. Hopefully we have a successful season in Division 2. And yeah, if you want to see a bit of footage of those socks, check out the Bendigo Bats Instagram page. I did see a little video going up there this afternoon. Let's talk about the race, Andy. You got the win again. It was 8K cross country. Got to be close to the hardest cross country course that happens on the 10 race series. This was round 2. The first round was the relays probably 3 weeks ago. So for the individual races, everyone goes off the gun where you finish in the race. That's how many points you get for the team. The team with the lowest score for their first 6 runners wins the round. Have I missed anything there?
No, that's but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to call it the hardest cross-country course in Australia, I reckon. It's from everything I've done, it's definitely the hardest.
You've ran some hard ones too. Wasn't that Mullaney one for National Cross? Didn't they think that was pretty hard?
Yeah, that was pretty hard, but there was no fences, no ditches, no like crazy, crazy long grass because they had mowed that for us. So people that ran it, Lardner Park, will know exactly what we're talking about. People that might have just seen a few videos, it's 3 times as bad as what you think it is. It's pretty brutal, and it would have been, I don't know, pretty challenging. I know you guys were driving down in the car and asked how the course was, and I said, just imagine the exact opposite of a Chuka, because it was hilly and quite wet and a lot of grass. So it was it was a great day though. How'd you find the race, Brady?
Well, 2 laps of 4K to start off with. So, and it was the same course that we spoke about last episode from 2009 and 2010. This race hasn't been on the schedule, the 10 race schedule, for the last 10-11 years. So it was yeah, I was afraid driving down. It's a long drive for us. It took us about 4 hours and 10 minutes. I had bad memories. I'd never run there well there in the past. And it starts on at the bottom of a hill, like the first 200, 250 meters. You go straight up the hill. You get some good downhill after that, but it's not like road downhill where you can kind of relax. Like, this is almost steep downhill. You can't see where your feet lands every time. We're talking about running through the middle of paddocks here. Like, this isn't a nice mode kind of golf course. And then you do get a bit of respite for probably maybe like from 500, 600 in through to like 1K in, where it kind of flattens out and you can kind of see your feet again. And then it just gets terrible throughout kind of 2K. You jump a fence, then you drop down, jump 3 ditches, and then you come up a pretty big hill. And then you drop down again, kind of the 3.5K mark to get some nice downhill before you go through and do it all again. Personally, I was kind of, I had a shocking night's sleep the night before. There's something happened in Moama. We haven't got to the bottom of it yet, but about 1:30 a.m., this noise, this will sound really weird, this noise just like ripped through the town. Carly and I both woke up just thinking like, what was that? Initially, we thought it was like the heater. Like, we've got an apartment kind of at the back of our property and we had like Airbnb guests staying in it. And like, initially I thought, oh no, something's just happened to the heater in our apartment. This isn't going to be good. They're going to be complaining that they've got no heat and stuff like that and give us a bad review on Airbnb. And then kind of it just went for like 8 seconds, the first up thing, like this, yeah, such a strange noise. And then kind of didn't think much of it after that, kind of didn't see any lights down on there, down in the unit or anything like that. And then probably a minute later, this noise, like screeching noise, which was obviously not the heater in our Airbnb, just went for about 2 minutes, and it felt like it was kind of next door. I went out to the road on my, in my jocks and a t-shirt and long socks pulled up, and absolutely freezing at that hour. And it was like it was coming from maybe a K, 2 Ks away. As I was out standing near the roundabout trying to see what was going on, a police car drove past, and yeah, it was one of those things. And then I struggled to get back to sleep. Like, I was just kind of like up, cold, wide awake, didn't know what was happening, wasn't sure where the police car was going. And then when Archie came around the next morning to leave at 8 a.m., he kind of brought up asking if I heard this sound as well, and he'd heard it. And when I woke up Saturday morning, off not a lot of sleep, knowing I had 4 hours to drive for an 8K terrible race in a cross-country course, my mind was almost going to like, I am just going to threshold this. I'm going to come 25th position. I'm doing this for points. I really cannot be bothered putting in the effort and running super hard. I've got a couple of road races coming up as well, so I like didn't want to almost like risk an injury or anything like that. But the gun went. I kind of slipped into probably 20th position, 15th position kind of thing. And knowing that at Gels Park, I think I was about 25th, like fastest time for the day. But I really don't rate that because it's a relay. And unless you run that first leg, you don't really get a kind of like good indication of where you're at. So I wanted to slot in with a lot of the guys that kind of ran 18:30, did that. It was interesting watching you. You kind of dropped a bomb like 600 meters in. You were kind of, it was like the race was over. And then there was two or three, I think there was three guys in the chase pack, maybe four guys. And then I was in this next pack, which was kind of whoever was going to win that pack was going to come fifth, and whoever was going to lose that pack was going to come 10th. And I was kind of like just slotting there. Sam Toll did a lot of the work. My jumping of the fence was really terrible, and the ditches, like I was losing time there. But pretty much I just stuck with that pack for as long as I could, got dropped about a K to go, and then got passed with about 200 metres to go, which I never like happening. But Michael Kernahan kind of went past me and put in a huge sprint finish. And yeah, I finished 9th, which is big for me in cross country. Like, I'm not great at cross country. I never really get to run hills and that kind of like no rhythm running. So to come 9th, I was pretty happy with. I think maybe the second time I've been top 10 in cross country before. So a good result. I was stoked. Made the drive home for 4 hours a lot better than what I was thinking when I woke up that morning.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit, I was pleasantly surprised when I kind of finished and turned around and saw you come across the line not too far behind. So it's, I don't know, I think a top 10 in an XCR race is a massive effort. But
I think it's just a bit of old man strength though, I reckon. It just actually, like, although it was a prick of a course, it really didn't feel super hard. Like, I felt pretty comfortable in that pack until we jumped the fences the second time. So probably until I got to 6K, and then I just lost so much, like, I just can't jump. Like, the guys were and the second lap, I was kind of jumping, I couldn't get the whole distance, so I'd kind of jump in and then jump out of the ditch. Like, and I didn't put, did you put your feet on the fence and then jump off it?
Yeah, so I put my heel on the, because I actually bought brand new spikes for this, some 9mm. So the first time I've worn 9mm compared to the normal 6 or 7mm you get in most Nike spikes. So I was kind of landing on my heel and then kind of jumping off the top of the fence, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that, I was scared
to do that. Like, I was scared, like, so I just cleared it, like went straight. But then by the time you hit the ground again, it's like your legs are full of lactic acid because you've been in the air for so long, which I wasn't even in the air for that long. Yeah.
That's the tricky thing about this fence, is because it's on a downhill, the where you take off is actually a lot higher than where you land. So it actually, you don't realize until you come to it and you're like, oh shit, this is a bit harder than what it actually looks. So it's tricky.
And when you're in a pack as well, it's like, you know, it's coming and you're like, oh, I don't want to be too close to this guy in front of me. Like, I want to get a bit of room to it, but then you let him get a bit of movement in front of you to get over it first. But then if you jump it poorly, all of a sudden when you come out of it, you drop, kind of thing. But, yeah, it was, yeah, I I hated it, but also loved it. Like, there's not many races. I was telling the boys about this driving home, where you are so your heart rate's so high at such an early stage of a race. Like, if you do like a road 10K or a road half marathon, like, your heart rate might peak when you're 95% of the way through that race. Whereas, if I had a heart rate monitor on, like, I reckon my heart rate would have been at 170, like 300 meters into the race. And it's like, how do you control that? And then, like, even looking at our splits, this will put it into kind of perspective a bit for some of the people. I'm just opening up my Strava now. I've got yours open, ready to go. But, like, I think that hard K, which was maybe the third and then the seventh K, I think, like, I was running, like, 335s. Like, and that was, you know, I was pretty happy with that. Like, it was really hard to maintain a quick pace. I think I actually ran a 4 minute K up one of the
sections. Yeah, I think there would have been a lot of slow Ks in that third, but particularly that seventh. Just because it's such hard running. So
yeah, so I went 309, 313, 332, 304 down the hill. That's lap one, and then 314. So about 5 seconds slower in that first K in the second lap. 313 exactly the same. 3:39, so I kind of lost 7 seconds on that hard K, and then come home in like 2:56. No, 3:02 pace it was in the end.
3:02.
I know. Yeah. 2:56 it says here actually. My watch got a bit short, but when you're running cross country, I didn't even look at my watch at all. But yeah, I was pretty stoked because I averaged 3:15 pace, which is the same pace I averaged for Gels Park, but 2 Ks further and a few extra hills.
Yeah, that's impressive actually. Like, it's because it is a tough course. Like, there's apart from that section once you get onto the dam wall, and then you kind of follow that road around. That's the only part where you can actually get a bit of rhythm, and the rest of it is you're running up a hill, down a hill, on the side of a hill, jumping a fence, jumping ditches, and it's like it is super tricky. And I was thinking about wearing my heart rate monitor just to see, like.
During the race, just to be get to?
Look at the data and just see how high I can get my heart rate. But actually, I just completely forgot it.
But it's such a weird race. And I want to hear your feedback on it because obviously you're in a completely different situation than I was. But it was so much happens. Like, you have to concentrate where you put your feet. I'd say like for 60, 70% of the course, you couldn't see where your foot landed, like the grass was that long. So you got to think about that. You got to think about, like, for me in a pack, you know, don't step on the person in front of you, who's behind you, what's going on, where's the fence, like get out of trouble. And then you've also got to manage your like fatigue levels. Like, is this too fast, too slow? Am I in the right pack? Do I relax a bit here? Like, it feels like a blur when you get to the finish line, you just see people's faces. And everyone's just like, what the F just happened here? Like, yeah, it's an interesting kind of way to race.
It's a new level of fatigue, hey. But I don't know. I find, like, that course, I think, suits me down to the T. Like, you've seen some of the good tracks that I run on, and they're very different to probably some of the tracks you run on. So I'm kind of used to that. You're not landing in the same stride pattern every single step. There's very little of my runs where it's just you getting to that rhythm and routine. So I feel normal just kind of running through those paddocks, and I feel good. And I think I kind of tell myself that everyone else finds it really hard, and then that makes me feel even better. So it's, I don't know. I think that I kind of knew that leading into the course, well, leading into the weekend, going, yeah, this is kind of my bread and butter in a way. But
we are surprised no one went, I'll read the results actually. So you won the race 8K 23:57. Second was Cody Shanahan, who's also ran, so he ran 13, like 48, pretty close to you over 5K.
Yeah, he's ran
51, something like that.
13:50 something. He ran that at the B race.
He did,
at that Box Hill.
So he was 24:34, like, so nearly 40 seconds behind. And then Thomas Thorpe, 24:49. So you're beating quality guys, but were you surprised that they didn't go with you? Like, it was almost like they just thought, oh, well, we'll just see who can best of the rest today.
Yeah, not really. They're pretty young guys, like, compared to me. Like, I reckon Cody's only 2 years out of juniors, I reckon. Like, he'd be 22, 23, I'm guessing. And then Thorpe's a little bit older, but still. And I kind of consider, like, Cody Thorpe and then also Liam Cashin. Like, I consider them kind of track runners. Thorpe's probably a bit more road, but Cody and Liam, like, they still do pretty low Ks, and I think they're going to be really, really good 3K, 5K kind of runners, especially when they get a little bit older and run a little bit more. So I kind of, when I saw that it was only us four kind of in that lead bunch, I was pretty confident, I suppose. And yeah, I just kind of, I went to the front just because the inside line was actually on the left. So I kind of went to the front, and then my mentality is just, I don't know if anyone's going to sit on me, I kind of want to make them work hard for it. And I often think, what do the people behind me, what would they want me to do? And I know with like Cody and Liam, I know that they would rather it be a 6K cross country, say, rather than an 8K. So that's where I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to make it hard from the get-go. So that's probably where you saw me gap those guys pretty early, in that I was just like, I'm just going to kind of run pretty hard and see if they follow. And if they don't, you can kind of, I don't know, you just kind of relax out there. It's quite nice. You just kind of, you can enjoy it. You're not stressing. You're not worrying when you're jumping fences and all that kind of stuff. And you can really focus on hitting the line you want. And you have time to look and see exactly where you want to run and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of like that front running. And I think there's something to be said about making the others run for second place in a way, like, and just kind of, if you go off at the start, I think they'll often go, oh yeah, there goes Andy, yeah, he's pretty good at cross country, we'll let him go, kind of thing. I'll worry about the battle I've got here with Thorpe or with Cashin or whoever it is, kind of thing. Yeah. So that's, yeah, just kind of playing those.
And then do you ever get scared out there, like thinking, oh, I've gone too early, like do you ever run scared, or you just like got this sewn up just to have fun out here?
I definitely don't count the chickens before they hatch, because a lot can happen. And it's, there's definitely little sections where you might, like, I know I was feeling really good on that first lap, and I come around to that hill where we started and ran up that, and I was like, geez, my legs feel like lead. And I know in my head I was starting to think, like, yeah, I've already done about 120-130K that week already, and I'm kind of starting to think that, and all of a sudden you're starting to think all these kind of negative thoughts, and it snowballs. But then I kind of got to the top of that hill and was like, nah, I feel all right, this is good, and just had a quick look back, and they were a fair way behind, and then you kind of start thinking positively again. But there is definitely sections where you run scared, but I think that can, as long as you manage that well, I think that can work really well. As long as you're not kind of thinking negatively about it. So it's, I don't know, there's been a few cross country races where I've kind of been out in front. So it's definitely a spot where I'm, I don't stress out too much, kind of thing. And it's, I like it. It's nice. And as I said before, you really get a good view of the course. And as I was talking, to the twins on the way home, like, they were kind of talking about how one of them, I think Ned, accidentally elbowed a guy next to him as he was jumping one of the little ditches, and that kind of put him off, and then he accidentally bumped him back, and they were both apologetic. But I was like, oh yeah, I didn't get that, any of that. And I think it makes it a little bit easier, I think. So yeah, it was tough though. Like, I was, yeah, coming up that hill the second time, I was like, oh geez, this is pretty hard. And then trying to get over that fence and the ditch the second time round, like, it was just like, crap, this is hard work. But
yeah, I was the same. I went to the front of our little group, like, in through the finish line there, got a bit of like downhill, yeah, recovered a bit of flat, and I was like, okay, you young fellas, because I reckon all that group's like at least 10 years old, younger than me, not married, no kids, just the easy lifestyle. And I'm like, I'm just gonna make my presence felt here, that I'm feeling pretty good halfway through. Then I got about a quarter of the way up that hill, and I'm like, and I'm gassed, I'm just hanging on now,
boys. I spoke to about four or five people that were like, all right, yep, I'm going to try and gain a bit up this hill. And then they all just were like, oh, nah, I'm just going to try and hold. And everyone was in that same kind of thought process. So,
yeah, Archie said 10 people passed him up that hill. He just goes, people were just flocking past him. And Nathan Pearce was saying the same thing from Western Ace. Just like, yeah, he's like, oh, feeling good, going to catch Brady's pack. Whoever wins that's going to come fifth. And then just like 10 people just went past him up the hill. Yeah, maybe not. So, yeah. And then, like, back to you for a second. Like, you're 5 weeks out from a marathon. Like, does Scott say to you, hey, maybe this is a bit risky doing this? Like, because it's not, like, people, there was people on the side of the course who had to DNF, like, have obviously rolled ankles or, like, done little injuries during the race. Like, and then was there ever a conversation about, like, hey, just run in the pack for 5K and then just win? Like, was that an option?
Yeah, no, last year we decided to do every single AV race, and it was like, all right, let's use them as like really good training and like kind of races. So we kind of, whenever I'm doing an AV race, I'll still train, but I'll move my training from Friday to Thursday. And we just normally pull back a little bit. So rather than being a really hard session, it might just be a gentle, like this week, for example, I did some 300s. So whereas normally I might do some 400s or something like that. So we use it as really good training, because I think here in Bendigo, I've been really lucky this year having the twins to train with. But other than that, I probably
don't... This is the Buckle twins we're talking about, two of the members of our top six, Matt and Ned, which we'll talk about their performances in a second.
We will. So I've been really lucky to have them training with me. But other than that, there's no one that really pushes me beyond that kind of comfort zone. So that's why I kind of go down to these AV races, because you get very good bang for your buck. So that's why we do it. And I think Scott kind of realizes that I'm pretty keen to do these, and I kind of love cross country. So I don't think he'd really ever try and say, nah, we're a bit close to a race. And we've never really spoken about the injury risk. I think as soon as you start talking about that kind of stuff, it kind of crops up, and it's never happened to me. And I actually sent him through some of the photos from the race of like the jumping over the fence and jumping through those gullies and that, and he replied back going, oh geez, I wish we had cross country like that back when I was young. I would have loved that kind of thing. So I think he loves that true kind of real hard cross country running as well, and he sees the benefit in it, because it's just really good strength training. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Actually, I'm probably on the fence about St. Anne's, because that's a week before Launceston. So that's something that might be a good way of testing the waters, and I need to ask Scotty what he wants me to do there, and if I do it, do I do a shorter leg or do we not do it at all? So yeah, watch this space regarding that, I suppose.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's the next round. St. Anne's Winery, it's a relay again. Every leg runs a different distance, though. So, hopefully we can slot her in for maybe one of the shorter distances at least, and still get the W there. But let's talk about the team. You were first, I was ninth. Matt Buckle, bit of a blinder of a run here, probably run of the day from the team, 17th overall. Nathan Stoat, 24th, Archie Reid, 29th, and then Ned Buckle, 42nd. That adds up to 122. That was good enough to win Division 2 ahead of Mentone in 253 and Glenn Huntley's second team in 481. Also good enough to draw Premier Division. The Western Athletics also scored 122 there. Glenn Huntley's first team, 159. St. Stephen's 178. So we didn't quite get the W in Premier Division, but we drew for it, which we're not actually in there, but I wonder what would have happened if two teams drew. A count back or something? What happens, you reckon?
I'm guessing it would come from a count back, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the... I really don't know.
Well, they had position or
2 and 4.
But their last position would have been 45, and then our last position was 42. So maybe we would have got the win.
Let's just call it. We'll say we won.
Yeah. Which, you know what? If you look at the overall ladder as well now, if we were Division 1, we would have scored 9 points of being second in the first round. And then, let's say instead of getting 11 for the win, both those teams on a draw got 10. So it puts us at 19. St. Stephen's Harriers would have been 11 for the win and then 8 for third. We would have been on top of the Premier Division ladder after two rounds, a draw with those fellas.
Yeah.
Come on, AV, let the bats fly. Put us up there early. We're competitive enough.
And I think the biggest disappointment from from the weekend is there's two teams in Premier Division that couldn't even field six runners.
Yeah. Is that two regional teams as well?
Two regional teams. So
two
Geelong
Victorian
and Ballarat.
Country teams. Yeah. Geelong had four people. Ballarat had four people. Ballarat had four people, and their score was still 847.
Yeah. It's...
we had six people, and our score was 122.
Yeah.
What's going on in Ballarat?
I don't know. I've heard Monna's rallying the troops, and they all run a lap around the lake tonight because he's not happy.
But, yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple of junior kids
that were talking about, can they come to the Bats? Like, they wanted to call themselves the Ballarat Bats and be like our second team or something. But
yeah, I don't
feel sorry
for
the kids over there.
Yeah, I don't blame them for jumping ship. But yeah, I don't know. We'll get them in a true Bats singlet. They probably want a taste of it at success. So we'll take them. I don't blame them for wanting to get out of the Ballarat singlet. Cause that's, yeah, to only have four open runners, it's, as a whole region as well. Like, they've got, what, four clubs down there?
And the history of running in that town, like, Mono must surely he'll get them fired up now. They've got to expect big things. Because St. Anne's is almost, like, they've got two out of the 10 races very close to home. St. Anne's Winery, and then they've got the Ballarat 15K. Zero races in Bendigo, FYI. We should really get a race in Bendigo so we don't have to sit in the car for so long every time. Even a Northern Victorian race would be good, wouldn't it? One in Shep or at Shuka?
Would be something.
Elmore, Rochi, something like that. Just give us something.
It's a bit warmer up here as well during the middle of winter compared to Ballarat.
Nice Saturday afternoon. So that was good to be the top regional team by far as well. Who stood out for you in our results? We should actually quick mention our second team, which is in Division 4, also won 447 points. And Nigel Preston placed 46th, so right behind Ned Buckle, who was 42nd. So we had a good seventh runner there as well, which is important.
Yeah, we're not just a one-trick pony. Getting the wins all across the board. So pleasing to see that Division 4 team. Like, those guys in that team, they treat that as if they're in the Div 2 team and they're trying to get into Premier. So it's pretty exciting for those guys. And I think with their score, they actually, they would have won Division 3 as well. So it's a massive effort. And I know we talk about it all the time, but for us to have 33 runners travel all the way from Bendigo, I think that just goes to show the commitment from the team. And we also, just checking now, we also won Div 7. So the lid is officially off. Wins across the board there. So that's it's a big day out for the Bats.
And what about all these Muppets that just thought, like, Jales Park was a fluke? And it's like, okay, boys, we'll talk to you guys after Leiden Park. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, at the same time, we are only two rounds into a ten-round season. So it's
eight to go is better than nine to go.
Yes, very true. But in terms of run of the day, I don't know. I was really stoked with Matt Buckle. I think he could still be running in under-20s. So he decided, both him and Ned decided to run in open because they wanted to be part of that, I suppose, the group dynamic that we've got going at the moment with our Div 2 team. And I suppose they probably want a few extra followers on Strava and all that kind of stuff that comes along with it. So those boys, I think Matt would have been very, very competitive in under 20. But for him to kind of give that up and go, I'm going to do the big boy race and finish 17th.
Some of the names was around, sorry to interrupt, but like Frankie Conway has been around for years and a strong runner. Adam Spencer is the Victorian 1500 meter champ, wasn't he?
Yep.
Like, he was just in front of him. You've got Nathan Pearce a bit behind him. Nick Earle, a 2:14 marathoner, five spots behind him. Ben Kelly, who runs, is broken 14:10. Really a long way behind him, actually, kind of like half a minute in the end. He took some big scalps on the day as well.
Yeah, so, and then we also had some really impressive junior results. So we had Logan Tickle, who won the under-16s race, which that's pretty impressive to win that. So he actually rolled a few Ballarat boys, which was great because I think they were pretty confident. And then we also had Anne Buckley. She won the 50-plus women's 4K cross country. So that's massive for Anne. She's she's been going on the bus since you and me both started back in the day, and she's she's there every single week and a massive supporter of the Bats. So I reckon we might have to divvy out. We've got a few extra socks. I think we might divvy out a pair of socks for Anne, I reckon, because a pair of Features socks. I think
she deserves a pair. She's put in about 20 years of like AV running.
Yeah, she's a true team player. Then we also had Chelsea Tickle in the 14 girls. She placed third. Tully Rowe in the under 18 girls placed fourth, so just off the podium. Taryn Folletti in the under 20 girls placing fifth. And then we had a lot of boys in the under 16s that finished top 20. So that's a thing. I think that shows the success of the Bats at the moment. We're not just kind of getting it done at the top in the open, but there's also some really strong depth in there as well. So
yeah, and that's important to create culture. The other good thing is as well that top six is it's almost like musical chairs, probably other than your position at the top there. Like I went from third to second. Matt kind of would have went from fifth to third. Nathan went from second to fourth. Archie went from fourth to fifth. Ned kind of was sixth and sixth. So it's kind of like your spot's just not safe at the moment, especially coming into real, or your spot is, but the other couple of us, it's just like, oh, is someone going to get shafted here for a relay spot if because there's still some names to come back, or if Nigel gets a bit fitter and takes someone down?
Yeah, and I think it's really healthy competition. Yeah. Like I think everyone's happy with each other's result, even if that means they were fifth or sixth in the team. They're stoked for how the team's going, and that's just, I don't know, you don't get that in running. Like how, I just remember standing there at the finishing line, looking around and seeing all these Bendigo singlets going, shit, we've done pretty well here. Like this is awesome kind of thing. And you don't get that anywhere else. And like you spoke about it, how you were driving down there and going, oh, I might just threshold this. We'll go through the motions. But you get on the line and there was a fair bit of banter getting thrown around as well. A few people didn't like all the attention the Bats have been getting and all the lip that we've been giving people probably. So that kind of probably got everyone fired up a little bit, but it's bloody awesome. Like it's, I don't know, just that whole team aspect. You can't, anyone that hasn't experienced just will never understand it. So it's pretty cool, but it's, who knows who will be in our top team for, St. Anne's. We might need to do a bit of a trial to get in or something. I remember you organising one of them years ago at our South Bendigo invite, I reckon.
Oh, did I? Jeez, yep. How good my memory is.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon it popped up in one of those Facebook messages on this day. Yeah. It was you, Cody, Brian, Leon, and maybe Phil and Birchie and a few others. So quite funny.
Still hadn't discovered Instant Messenger at that stage by the sounds of things.
No, just posted on people's walls, been a real nuisance.
Nah, it was a good day. Let's quickly recap a bit of your training before we finish up. So you had a big week as well, like looking at this Strava 177. Last week we stuffed this up, so we're just sticking to the last week of training. Tell me about your Tuesday workout, because we got in the car after our workout in Shepparton and check Strava, and we were talking about this workout coming home. Yeah, and because on Strava, you hadn't labelled it when we first seen it, but it was 11.7K with an average of 302K pace.
Yeah.
So you've gone through 10K and 30.20, which is quicker than most people's PBs.
Yeah, this is a little session that we call Lake Laps. So done down at the wonderful Lake Waroona. People probably get sick of me talking about this lake, but if you haven't been there, go down there. It's bloody heaven. So the lake lap is about, I think it's 1,470 metres, give or take. So it's pretty much 1,500 around. So I've been doing this session for a while. So it's 1,200 on, and then it's a 300-ish. It's just short of 300 float. So normally I do 4K, or sorry, 4 laps of this or 5 laps. I've never done more than 5, and this week it was 8. 11.7K of work. I kind of didn't do the math and didn't realize it was so far, which was probably a blessing in disguise. Got down there, and I don't know what, I was just in the mood, I think, because it was race week. I was feeling pretty good, and it was a perfect night, like a little cool, but no wind at all, like what a lot of the weather's been like this week. So, yeah, and I just got rolling and felt good. I'm not normally very good at floats because I don't do much floating as such. I kind of more so do my reps a bit harder than have a standing recovery. But yeah, I just kind of got rolling and felt good. So for most of them, I was pretty consistent and hit about, 258, 256. This is for my ons, 255, 255, 256, 255 pace for those ons for that 1200. And I was kind of hitting, anywhere between kind of 319, 330, 320 for the floats. And I said to the boys afterwards, I said, oh, I actually felt like the floats got in the way because I was just in a rhythm and I was just feeling, I don't know what it was, I was just feeling good that night and I just felt like I could have just kept running and I felt like I had honestly another three or four reps in me. So just one of those nights where you just feel good and kind of get rolling. So I was a little bit surprised about that actually, and considering I've been running pretty big mileage. But yeah, there was just a, it does look pretty good on Strava, but it was, yeah, just a good night where I felt good. So yeah, it's
that's what you looking want, forward to nights like that.
Yeah, looking forward to getting a fair few more bats down the lake sometime and we can really get rolling.
And then like not much really recovery, because then the next day you roll out for your, well, it's medium long run, but it's pretty much a long run in everyone's eyes. What was this, 27? My Strava's just loading now.
27.3 for an hour. That's 52.
Right. Hour 52 at 407s as well.
407s, yeah. So this is my least favorite run of the week by far. And it's just kind of after work and you're kind of like, oh. But it's, Scotty just likes me to go flat on these and just kind of tick along at a good tempo. And I quite like going by myself just because you know what it's like when you're running a group, you kind of get chatting and it's, you kind of go a bit slower, which sometimes is really good. Whereas with this, I like to, put in a podcast or get some music. I think last week it was Hilltop Hoods that got me through.
What was it this week?
I can't remember actually. I'm trying to think.
Yes, you can. You're just embarrassed about what it is. This is, I've heard this before.
No, honestly, it wasn't J. Cole. I think I listened to J. Cole's new album earlier in the week. I don't know. I honestly can't remember. I don't know. It must have been something good because, kind of got rolling pretty well there. And it's a pretty big run off the back of a big session, but it's, I like that run. I've got a good loop down pat and it's, it goes fast and it's kind of good. Get back on the creek trail and run back home. So it's that's the first thing I'm looking forward to after this marathon's done, is dropping that midweek long run back a bit to maybe 20k rather than it's meant to be an hour 45, but sometimes I add a little bit onto a loop and I forget how much it's going to add in. So it's a pretty long run midweek. With your marathon blocks, what do you get your midweek long runs out to?
No, I stopped doing them. I stopped doing them under this because we'd do the Wednesday session be quite big.
Then
the Sunday would be a marathon workout. So, like, you just don't have time to recover. You think about your Tuesday workout's pretty big, but we'd do that workout on a Wednesday. And then it'd all be about recover to get to Saturday or Sunday, depending. Usually Sunday, but sometimes if the weather was going to be better or something like that, you might do it Saturday if it worked with life better. But you're still doing more like time on feet kind of long runs than which kind of have less stress than, like, there was a couple of days where I'd do, 40K in 226-ish kind of thing, like kind of rolling a 230 marathon if you stayed out there kind of thing. So you just need till Wednesday to get going. And then it'd be kind of like long, or sometimes like, the K on, K off times 10, or like a Kenyan fart, like 2 minutes on, 1 minute jog for an hour. Like, you'd be pretty cooked. Or sometimes you'd do like the, 4x4K or 5x3K or stuff like that on that day as well.
It's funny, this midweek long run, I feel awesome when I'm out there and then I finish and it's kind of like I stop and I have dinner and then I'm just like, oh, like it just feels like a train's just hit me. It's just like, oh man, I'm done. And then it's like straight to bed essentially. Then
you must be sleeping well.
I'm sleeping. We've got a dog and it It's because it's cold at the moment, and it's always slept with a blanket, and I think it always kicks the blanket off, and I don't hear the dog crying at night when it's bloody sooking, because I'm just out like a light these days. It's sleeping very, very well, which is the joys of high mileage, I suppose.
Yeah, and then 15 300s on the Thursday before the do you do grass as well?
Yeah, on the grass. So I wanted to do it on the track, but there was a school carnival. You know what it's like this time of the year. At the Aths track. It's pretty much booked out every day. So, and because Thursday is one of my half days, so I was kind of like, oh, I finish work at 12. I don't really want to sit around for 4 hours and then kind of do the session when the track's free. So I just went down to Bysshe. Actually ran with Nath Ryan. I don't know if you know Nath, but he's running, I think it's 1,000 Ks in the month.
Nathan to raise... Ryan.
Yeah, he's...
Did he used to work at Holy Rosary, the school there?
No,
that could be a different guy.
I think there's actually two Nathan Ryans in Bendigo, and I... Yeah, but I know. Nath, he's raising money for MS, and he did a marathon around Bysshe on Thursday. So, yeah.
As you do.
As you do. So I actually joined him for 4K of my cooldown. So you might see my cooldown there is at a very leisurely 5 minute 30Ks, because that's what he's kind of cruising around in. And he's on pace, and he got the marathon in that day, which is just, I think it was like a 4 hour marathon or something. And I think he's up to his third listening of the David Goggins audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
he's gone through that. And he's just started the third time. So
so if he's doing 1,000 Ks for the month, isn't that like only like a, 33.3 average? But is he like chucking through marathons in there so he can have easier days?
Yeah, I think so. Let me just pull up and see what he's doing, just because it might be a little bit more. But so 1,000 Ks. So he's up to 651. But he was telling me, I think this was on Thursday when I ran with him, and then he said on Wednesday he was just bonked, like he was just super tired, and he only got like 20K. So he's
just
not a runner.
K's.
Yeah, like he runs a little bit, not much at all though. So for him doing 1,000 Ks in a month, like that's a lot. That's a lot of running. It's like obviously 250 a week. And I'm not even getting anywhere near that. And I feel like all I'm doing at the moment is running. So it's, if you want to have a look, just look him up on Facebook. And he's got all the links there if you want to get around a bloke that's just hammer himself day in, day out. He was actually looking to do it all around the lake. And he's, I think he got about a week in, and he's just was banged up.
Too much concrete too, yeah.
All asphalt, yeah. So now he's getting down to Bysshe a fair bit, because he's got that, there's about a K loop there that's all lovely grass. So he's ticking along. But if you are interested, check out Nath Ryan on Facebook, and you can find the links to support that good cause. So I was there just for some 300s. Actually did the first, I think it was first six in the Vaporflies, and just Vaporflies on grass. I just hate it. Like, it's just, especially when the grass is a bit wet, you just don't get anything from them. I remember you saying Archie wears them up on the grass track up in Echuca, and I felt slow, and then put spikes on because I got some new spikes. I just like the actual spikes, just wanted to see what they were like, and it just felt a lot better around the corners. So that was a bit of a half session, really. Probably motivation wasn't super high for it, nothing super impressive, but it was just about kind of getting a bit of work in.
Just tick those ones off.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew the race was coming on Saturday, so I didn't really want to do too much. Just wanted to get a bit of speed in the legs and, tick the session off. So, and then race on Saturday. And then a fairly big day today, actually.
Yeah, well, what was it today? 38K in the morning and then 8K in the afternoon.
Yep. Yeah, you said the title of my Arvo, right?
Yeah, first time you've done a Sunday Arvo double. Broke the cherry.
Yep, broke the cherry. So, it was a big day. The plan was to do 2.5 this morning, and Scotty kind of said, oh, if you're feeling all right, you can go to 37 and 38. And I'm the type of person that if you give me the option of 37, 38, I'll always go 38. So, yeah, we had a really good group out this morning, actually. There probably would have been,
wasn't it 25?
And then even, you know what it's like with that run, you often, it thins out towards the end, and by the time you get up to the top of One Tree Hill, there's often only two or three around, whereas I think there was still probably 10 in the group at that stage. So it was really good, actually. Had a good chat with Crammers, and even Richard was there this morning, which is the first time I've seen him in years, actually.
Richard Gleisner?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, he rolled out at the start. So,
what, is he back living in Bendigo?
I have no idea. He must just be here visiting, because that's the first time I've seen him. Last time I heard him, he was still in Warrnambool.
Yeah, last time I was talking to him, he was still in Warrnambool. Jeez, there's some real class getting around the Sunday long run then.
Yeah.
Crammers is going right too. He's fit. He's getting fit.
He was with us till we got to Heartbreak, and it was a pretty select group up the front there, and he kind of got put in a bit of a tough situation because he kind of dropped off us, but then the rest of the pack were a fair way behind, so I think he ran a fair bit solo. But he keeps fronting up, and he's getting fitter and fitter every week, actually. So he's doing good thing, Crammers. Hopefully getting him in a bat singlet sometime soon.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that are like fit, they got three kids and probably might only do one or two races, and it's kind of not worth forking out $350 or something for your rego and then like the entry. Like, he's going to run Melbourne? Yeah, Melbourne Marathon. Yeah, I think he is. I sent him some sessions the other day. This is my best mate we're talking about here, listeners, just off the site, but who lives in Bendigo, my best man at my wedding. Who's super naturally fit, breaks 17 minutes of 5K without doing much training, and ran 2:45 off about 10 weeks training. So, it'd be interesting to see how he goes, because three kids under four, I think. So, busy man and working full-time and all those kind of things. But, yeah, that's a good day from you today. What's that, 44K?
Yeah, 44K. So, that's easily my biggest day ever. I didn't mind the Sunday run. It was okay, like the Arvo. But it's just kind of hanging there all day. Yeah. Just in the back of your mind, I've got to run again today. And I like kind of getting my long run done early in the morning kind of thing, and then having the rest of the day just to kind of chill out and not think about running. Whereas that was definitely in the back of my mind, like, oh yeah, I've got to run a little bit extra. And it was purely just because the K's, just how shocking was it to warm up and cool down at Lander Park?
There was just nowhere. Yeah.
Like, and I was planning on banking a few extra K's in the cool down, but I was just, by the end, I was like, I've had enough. It's just running around in circles nearly. But it was a good week. I'm really happy with that. Like, 177, pretty strong. Kind of long run, like kind of running 4:13s isn't easy on that course. And a really good session and a quality good race. So it's a good step forward, and hopefully next week's a little bit easier, hopefully.
Yeah. Do you know if you've got a down week coming up?
I'm doing Launceston, so I'd imagine, I'm pretty sure from memory, it's I've actually got my week here. I'll
Launceston 10K.
Nah, Launceston half.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah, didn't you know I was doing the half?
You and Tommy DeCano. Someone else good's doing it too.
Yeah, Benny Saint and also Liam.
Liam, I've heard. Yeah.
What I've been told. So, I've been chatting a bit with Tommy, and we've been throwing some big numbers around, which is always good fun. He was telling me we've got a star pacer, so I'm... It's going to be interesting to see. Apparently, DJ is going to pace, which will be
he's not fit, interesting. Though, is he? Isn't he just getting back into training now?
I don't know. Who knows? He's a person that can get fit very quick, and especially Strava fit.
DJ and Gebra Selassie we're talking about here. World Half Marathon Australian representative.
PB of 62:30, I reckon.
He ran a 3K last week, didn't he? Like 8:40, so maybe he's getting fit pretty quick.
Yeah, maybe.
That's going to be a good race. I was surprised because I wasn't sure if anyone was going to do it. Because when you're that close to the Gold Coast, it's like, oh, is it too close? Is it enough time to recover? It's right on that line, I think.
I think it is. But you look at these shoes these days, and they just, literally a game changer, because you don't pull up anywhere near as bad as what you used to in the old non-super shoes.
Yeah,
and I think you can just
bang it up though. Like, you're still gonna have to have a good, like, you won't do a session on the Wednesday, will you?
You definitely
won't do one on the Tuesday, but you might get your session if you could hit a session on a Friday.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I reckon. So I reckon in terms of down weeks, I don't think I'll get one until the week before Launceston. So that's 2 weeks away, is it?
Yeah.
Three. Yeah, two.
3 weeks.
3 weeks to the race, 2 weeks to the down week.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, this week, Tuesday, I'm doing three sets of 800, 1 minute recovery, 800 jog lap mile. So that's a lot of laps around the track, which will be good fun. Friday's 3x2.5K with 2 minutes recovery with the quotation of get after it. So that'll be interesting. And then Sunday, this is what I'm looking forward to, because it includes the wedge. So it's an hour 50, 2 hours solid long run through the hills, and then straight into two laps of the wedge at 3:10.
How far is the wedge? 4K? 3K?
The wedge is 3K, 2.8.
So you're doing, 2 hours, was it 2 hours or 2 hours 30?
Nah, yeah, 2 hours.
2 hours into 6K of 3:10s.
3:10s.
You'll murder that. That'd be easy.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. This is very different for me, and doing that, like, I've done a few little things at kind of 3:30, 3:40 at the back of a long run, but I haven't done anything this quick, so it's...
Will you stop and change shoes and stuff, or you just roll straight in, you reckon?
I'm not sure. The message has straight into, but I don't know. I don't get too caught up on things that are a week away. Like, I like to kind of go, all right, Tuesday, yep, that's done. Kind of Friday, yep, that's done. Yeah. And then I'll worry about Sunday. Yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of there. And then I'll probably chat to Scotty during the week and just see what he wants. But I'd imagine I'd probably change shoes. I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to hit that pace in heavies. It's just good.
Yeah.
Like, refreshes you mentally as well. Like, makes it kind of definitive. You're like, okay, I've changed from the long run to the session part of the workout.
Yeah, exactly. But,
last question for you, because this has actually turned into a long show. Do you pay much attention to the people on their kind of like Strava and social media, to the people you'll be racing against at the Gold Coast?
We
haven't seen an elite field yet, but everyone kind of knows that, Tom Decano, Benny Saint, Lewis McAfee, who banged out 30K at 3:10 pace today in a 30K race up there on the Gold Coast. Look at that? No, obviously you haven't seen that one yet.
No, I haven't.
In a pair of Ons as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think his mob's sponsored by On up there now. So I thought that was the most impressive thing, that he banged it out in a pair of On shoes. But obviously you don't. Yeah. Do you pay attention to that stuff that pops up in Strava, and you kind of compare what you're doing and what they're doing?
I wouldn't say I pay attention, but I don't actively not look at it. Like, I saw Tom Decano and Benny Saint, but more so Tom. He did a ripping session yesterday around Centennial Park, and I was like, oh shit, he must be fit, kind of thing. And that's kind of all I read into it. I don't really go into, oh yeah, he did a 30K session. Oh, my session was only 20K. So I don't read into it that much, but I probably use it as I look at it, notice it, and I'll probably take a bit of motivation, I'd say, from it, and being like, oh yeah, that's where I want to be, kind of thing. But I don't really judge it and compare too closely. But like, I saw like Riley Cox, like he's doing Gold Coast as well, and he's been banging out some bloody ripping sessions over in Adelaide. So like, I notice it, but I don't actively, like, I'm not hanging out for Sunday to see exactly what all these guys are doing, kind of thing.
Shit, these guys, I've just seen these Sydney fellas, because I must have missed this being in the car for 8 hours yesterday. They did nearly 27K at 3:06 pace.
Yeah, and have a look.
That's like 65:30 through half marathon split.
Yeah. It's impressive. That's why Tommy was talking big numbers about Gold Coast and Launceston, because I think he's pretty fit at the moment. So it's going to be good fun, actually. So we'll see what
It's going to be good because we're going to see like an Australian win it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's
hopefully
it's
they release a field soon.
Yeah, you'd think. I think it's all locked up. And like you look, have you seen they actually, because it's the Australian Marathon Championship as well, so each state can put up six runners.
I know New South Wales picked their team last week.
Yeah, so Victoria have picked theirs. They just haven't announced it just yet. So I got an email, I think on Friday, from Whippy about that. So it's, yeah, but New South Wales are going to be pretty hard to beat, I think. They've got a pretty stacked team. So
it's only first four count, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't know the logistics behind it, but, yeah, I don't know. It's probably something like that.
Zach was going to put his name down for it. Do you have to wear the Victorian uniform?
Yeah, no, you don't.
Oh, that's good.
No, you don't. So
that'd be uncomfortable for a marathon.
Yeah, that was my first question when because Sean actually contacted me and said, "Oh, do you want me to? Do you want to nominate?" And I said, "Oh, what am I required to do?" Kind of thing, and especially like I want to like features there, like one of my sponsors and that kind of stuff, and I'd rather wear their singlet because I'm used to their singlet, and it's I'd rather give them the publicity or Ernie Old rather than kind of AV, because it's kind of like, well, what AV do for me kind of thing. And I think part of the team, you get free entry, which I've kind of already got, and then you get a elite start, which I've already got, and you get to put your drinks on a special table, which I've already got, and it's kind of like, well, what's the advantage here? So yeah, it's I don't know. We'll wait and see, but I think we'll get rolled by New South Wales there anyway.
Right, yeah, pretty strong team for the New South Welshmen. Anyway, mate, let's wrap it up there. Good week's training. Stay injury-free this time in 5 weeks. Hey, we keep your afternoon free because we've got a live show for the Inside Running podcast. Tickets just went on sale today
Our
Patreon supporters, and then it goes general public. But, yeah, we'll be looking for people who might have good races to possibly interview at our live show. Don't book in beers too early yet.
Okay, I've already booked in a few, but I'll be able to, I'm sure I'll be
actually,
able to squeeze
don't
in
even
there.
Worry about the after party yet. Just worry about trying to win the race.
Nah, it's going to be good fun. There's so many people from Bendigo going up.
Oh, it's the best weekend ever, Gold Coast.
And I've got so many people that I coach that are going up, and it's just going to be awesome. But that's last thing I want to chat about is there was so much bat support on the course yesterday. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And then I had people I coach that live up in Gold Coast or like Queensland, New South Wales, and they're like, "Oh, good luck to the bats today. Hopefully you guys dominate." And it's just so a big thank you to all our supporters out there. It's quite entertaining, I must admit.
And it's funny because it's kind of like a joke as well, but then people support us as a joke, but then it all kind of gets wrapped up together. Like it's really, really cool. And then like I love like in my Strava comments, I'll just have like 30 comments on a run and like 25 of them are just like bat emojis.
Bat emojis, yeah.
Or like people just fuming that we're not in div one at the moment. They're just like, yes, people are invested in this. This is pretty cool. I love being a part of it. It's just like rejuvenated like my whole winter.
It has, and it's, I don't know, it's there's so much excitement going around at the moment in Bendigo, so it's pretty cool. And hopefully, if people want to watch Athletics Victoria, as much as we say that we should be in Div 1, they do a lot of good things, and they actually release a highlights package on their Facebook page.
Oh, yeah,
page.
Have they put that out yet?
They've put out the short one, which you don't really see much, but keep an eye on their socials, and if you want to see a few people jumping over a fence pretty poorly.
You also get interviewed, don't you?
Yeah, yep. So there was plenty of...
do they ask about the team or is it just... do they just talk about you individually?
No, the team was talked about. And
remember they shunned us in round one.
They did.
So hopefully we get a mention this time.
There was even... Tim even spoke about how well Bendigo's doing compared to their counterparts across in Ballarat, so... It's not just us that are noticing it. So
the extended highlight video has been uploaded. It goes, they've just uploaded it like less than an hour ago. So we need to get off this call so we can watch it.
We need to. We'll put that on the.
I'll put in the show notes as well. Yeah, I'll put in the show notes of this podcast to listeners. If you're still listening to us, 60 minutes in, talking bullshit about this stuff. Thank you very much. We're signing off. We'll do a quick show in a couple of weeks' time before round three. because the team selection will be, it could be interesting going into that one if Andy doesn't run and how we're going to fill that spot or what we're going to do there. All right, mate, train well, stay healthy. Talk to you next
time.
Thanks,
mate. See ya. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.